Welcome to the Lubar Executive Education Podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about setting your organization apart from the competition by causing disruption in your industry. With me today is Dennis Kelly. Dennis has been involved in starting and growing early stage technology ventures for over 30 years and is currently the CEO of Postalytics, a fast growing software company that is modernizing the printed mail industry while using data and technology to reduce the industry's supply chain carbon footprint. Welcome, Dennis. It's great to have you here with me today.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be here as well.
I'd like to start by asking you to share a little bit about how you define disruption when it comes to differentiating yourself in the marketplace and your experience disrupting industries that most people think of as fairly traditional.
Sure thing. I think that disruption is a term that is used a lot by people in business. And I think everybody wants to be a disruptor. And I think there have been a lot of books that have become very popular, The Innovator's Dilemma, right? And others that are really kind of driving business leaders to think about disruption on a continual basis. And, you know, the way I define it is really when you're able to create a process or a way of engaging with your audience, your customer base, et cetera, and create that process that has a drastically different feel or flow to that process. And so, you know, I'm in the software business. It's easy for me to say, right? People say, hey, you know, tech is always about disruption. And there's an element of truth to that, but it doesn't have to just be tech, right? Like even a manual process can be disrupted. And so I think it's really about sort of challenging all of your assumptions about your processes and trying to tear them down and look for better ways of doing things and not doing them just because that's the way they've always been done.
That's a great frame. And I like how you're kind of widening that because I think you're right. Most people do feel that certain things are disruptive by nature, like tech and other things like data processes might not be. A lot of people think disruption, though, is all about that next big product or that next invention. But in reality, you don't really have to be the next Steve Jobs to cause disruption. What can you tell the audience about where you think the opportunity for disruption lies?
Sure. Everybody's aware of the digital evolution of a lot of the things that we're doing. And if you look at the landscape of different opportunities out there for disruption, there's a tremendous amount of energy and capital flowing into purely digital types of businesses. And that's great. And there'll be continue to be disruption and growth there. But I believe that there's a great opportunity for businesses that are not purely digital, businesses that are operating in the physical world, to apply a lot of those principles that are being, you know, driven in the venture capital world, the early stage startup digital world. Those things can be applied to physical businesses. And I think what I found, and I think others will find, is that there's a heck of a lot less competition and capital and energy being applied to some of those physical spaces. So, you know, for example, you know, we are disrupting a very old marketing channel known as direct mail marketing. And it involves printing. It involves mailing. So two things that are pretty old school, the U.S. Postal Service and great big commercial printers. And so I think there's a lot of other opportunity like that. If you look at organizations like Uber, think about what Uber has done. They've taken a concept around on-demand transportation that had been filled by the taxi industry forever. And they just said, hey, we're going to apply some of these principles to that industry and rethink the process. So the way people get their personal on-demand transportation. And they developed this incredible platform and the thing has blown up. And so I think there's a lot more opportunity there than maybe meets the eye.
So after settling on an idea to cause some disruption in your industry, how do you start bringing that idea to life?
Well, you know, I think that the most important thing in beginning the journey toward building a disruptive business is to start to map out the most common processes that the users of your service or product will have. And referred to this earlier, but think about it with a blank slate. Like, you know, there should be no boundaries on what you think of initially around what you could do if you just got rid of everything that exists today, right? And so you can map those things out on whiteboards, slide decks. There's a lot of different ways you can just walk through important processes that have not been really torn down and ripped apart for a long time. And so you can do that without writing a lick of code. And so you can focus on kind of conceptually building a workflow that is potentially highly disruptive to your existing workflows. And then, you know, from there, you don't have to go get tons of capital and tons of people to get involved in rebuilding something to start. You know, you can use very low-tech tools to put together some processes and then even turn it into, if it's going to be a digital process, you can start turning it into things with using no code or low code tools so that you're not building out of the gate something that is going to scale for the world. You're building something just to prove the concept, a proof of concept idea, minimal viable product idea. That's what you should be driving for initially.
One of the things I talk about a lot is that all ideas have a time and a place. With that in mind, how important is timing when you set out to pivot and cause disruption?
Well, I think that timing is very, very difficult to determine. In any kind of business or market, you're never going to precisely predict timing of things. For example, I have a friend who is a renowned chief technology officer, was really around in the very beginning of the computer industry, the software industry as we know it today. And he pulled up an article that was written about a speech that he gave in the 1980s about the impact of artificial intelligence. And he was talking about the fact that artificial intelligence is going to change the world and that we've kind of figured out all how it works, but the timing wasn't right. And so I think it's important to think about kind of the macro level things that are going on. If you use that example of artificial intelligence, the concepts that define artificial intelligence were defined in the 70s and 80s, but the computing power and the network of the internet that's tied everybody together didn't really exist. So ideas can be wonderful, but you have to actually have the components in place in order for an idea to flourish. And so if you're looking at your business and you're thinking about what's happening at a macro level, what's going on in the supply chain, what's going on in the world of finance, of technology, and how those things come together, if you can see that the fundamental infrastructure is coming together to support a new idea, then that's a great time to start really investing.
Thank you. I really like how you're talking about some continuous improvement type options. And you know, you already mentioned minimum viable product as one of the things to start with. What are some other best practices and maybe even some pitfalls that leaders should be thinking about as they start to cause some disruption?
Well, you know, I think one of the challenges that a lot of businesses have when it comes to trying to be disruptive is the notion that you can't fail. I think that when you're starting this process, you have to assume there will be failure. And so, you know, your organization has to be able to support an initiative through some ups and downs and some peaks and valleys and different issues that are going to arise. It's because it's so incredibly rare that somebody has a great idea, starts to lay it out, and it all just happens right away, right? It's incredibly rare. So you should be thinking and preparing your organization to say, hey, you know, this is a journey. We're going to head down this road to start because of these assumptions. We're going to get in and we're going to learn a little bit. We're going to talk to customers. We're going to get it out there, right? And then we're going to get some feedback. We're probably going to end up pivoting one or two times along the way. So don't expect a straight line of growth and revenue out of the gate. It's going to be a little bit bumpy while you're figuring things out. And so my advice is really to accept that and to sell it internally. Like you got to make sure that the stakeholders and everybody involved in this understands that this is a journey and not just a hockey stick ride because you're thinking of some disruption.
Yeah, you definitely got to prep the stakeholders and look at something like this very differently. This isn't something you can measure with your typical KPIs and activity metrics and things like that. So continuing on with this theme a little bit, what recommendations do you have for leaders who want to begin exploring how they can leverage the power of disruption in their industry today?
Well, you know, I think that the best source of ideas are the people who are on the front lines of dealing with a process. And these are people in your organization that are carrying out tasks like customer service, sales, on the ground marketing people, manufacturing people who are involved in building the actual things that you're trying to create. Those are always the best source of ideas. And if I'm beginning a process of creating a new disruptive type of product, I want to talk to the people that are actually doing the work. I don't want to talk to analysts. Analysts get paid to look at what has happened in the past and guess about things in the future. That's fine. But the people with the real knowledge are the people that are actually doing the work. And while they may not be able to articulate the full vision of what the problem to be solved is, if you talk to them enough, if you talk to enough of the stakeholders at the ground level, you'll come away with a distillation of an idea that is made up of a lot of those conversations, and you'll be able to draw your own assumptions. You'll be able to see things that they can't see, but they also are seeing things that you can't see. And you got to have that conversation. You got to dive deep.
I had the opportunity a number of years ago to meet Jack Welch, and he talked about how people are the greatest source of sustainable competitive advantage. So echoing his thoughts there, and that's sage advice for sure. What final advice would you like to share with our audience before we wrap up this episode?
I guess the only other thing I'd like to say is that great organizations, I believe, are able to adopt a mindset where there's a continual look, a continual obsession with trying to reinvent themselves. So by diving deep, by looking at the core processes at every layer of the organization, tearing them down and rethinking them on a regular basis, your company can't help but become a leader, can't help but becoming more productive. So finding people that like that mindset, finding people that are attracted to that mindset, I think, is a critical, critical part of building a disruptive organization.
Yeah, it's easy to kind of start sitting back and get comfortable and try to find people who, you know, will resist that and actively challenge the status quo is really key for what you're talking about.
So yeah, thank you again. People who are just happy with doing things the way they've always been done, right?
Right.
And so, you know, finding people that are like, no, I want to grow. I want to change. I want to rip this apart. That's the key.
Yep. Got to keep moving forward always. Well, if anybody is interested in learning more from you, where can we point them to?
Well, if you're interested in learning how we're disrupting the direct mail marketing industry, please check us out at postalytics.com. That's PostalyTics, postalytics, kind of postal and analytics put together, two ideas that marketers typically haven't been able to do. So we've got a ton of information about what we're doing there. I'm very active on LinkedIn as well, Dennis John Kelly and on LinkedIn. And we have a great YouTube channel with videos about how we're disrupting the direct mail marketing industry as well.
All right, wonderful. I will put some information in the show notes to help people find you and learn a little bit more. In closing, I'd like to take a moment and thank our listeners. We wish you the best of luck as you move forward on your leadership journey. Please check back regularly for additional episodes.